Eric, I hope you had a holly jolly Christmas, just like everyone out there who started Alvin Kamara and Mike Evans and Miles Gaskin and all these guys who brought great Christmas joy for all to hear for your fantasy championship. Well, I mean, unless you were playing against Kamara and Evans and Gaskin, in which case you're probably feeling pretty bah humbuggy this Christmas year. Well, Eric, you know, how did your fantasy playoffs go? Did you get a chance to start any of these guys?
No, I went against Alvin Kamara in our guillotine league down to two teams, and I had Mike Evans on the bench because I loaded up my team with Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams and people like that. So, yeah, not real happy, but I did draft Alvin Kamara like his rookie year. I had him with Todd Gurley, and I just dominated my home league. So Alvin Kamara will always have a soft spot in my heart.
Well, you know, there's nothing more Christmas-like than just remembering great Christmases of the past. So, yeah, let's just run it back to, 2018 when your team was really good with Kamara and Gurley then. So, you know, but not so much this year, it sounds like. Well, hey, that's okay. 50% of people out there, you know, either played against or played with Kamara. So, you know, there's a 50-50 shot either way, Eric. It doesn't sound like you were on the right side of that coin this year. But hey, speaking of Alvin Kamara, he is the first player to score 6 touchdowns in a game since Gale Sayers did it in 1965. And he's like the first guy to score 6 rushing touchdowns since 1929. So pretty incredible game for Kamara. I watched quite a bit of that. The Vikings just didn't look interested in tackling anyone that had the ball. It was just like not their thing, I guess. So good for Kamara. He's going to be hit with a fine for those Christmas shoes. But speaking of financial implications of Kamara's game, we saw some really cool stuff on Twitter about paying it forward. And for all of those who, you know, Alvin Kamara helped you win your fantasy championship, you know, donating some of that to perhaps a cause that Alvin Kamara represents for it, which is Son of a Saint, which was founded back in 2011 by a former Saints executive who, you know, has seen a lot of boys out there without fathers have a hard time growing up. So this fantastic foundation down in New Orleans really helps young men who are growing up without fathers. And us here at QB List are actually going to be donating $25 to that Alvin Kamara Fantasy Football Championship Fund. It is actually named that, which I think is pretty cool. And so we'll be donating $25 to that cause because, well, neither me nor Eric, you know, benefited from Alvin Kamara this week. We know that a lot of our listeners and a lot of our staffers did. So I just wanted to pay that forward. And I thought that was a really cool thing, Eric, for QB List to do.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully we can get the ball rolling on this. We donated some money for the Scott Fish Bowl, back for the Scott Fish Bowl Pot-a-thon. So it's always great when the fantasy community comes together and rallies money. And it's nice when, you know, a bunch of us get together because you can chip in a little bit. It doesn't, you know, put you out and it goes to a good cause. So, yeah, I mean, anyone growing up without a father, I mean, a mother or a father, but this one's for kids growing up without a father. It makes a lot of sense to help them this time of the year. So happy to do it. And hopefully we can do more of this going forward.
Yeah, and if you want to help pitch in, you know, at home, we're actually going to be including a tweet from Michael Gelkin, who compiled a great list of charities that players, you know, champion for. And there's a lot of guys on here who might have helped you win your fantasy leagues, you know, David Montgomery, James Robinson, Robert Tonyan. There's a lot of players on here. So be sure to check out the tweet in the episode notes. And if you've won your championship this week, you've won quite a bit of money, you know, be sure to check that out and see if there's a player and a cause that you feel strongly about and want to help donate to. In other NFL record news, Frank Gore reached 16,000 career rushing yards. He's only the third player to reach that mark, and he's just 726 yards behind Walter Payton for second all time. I know every year feels like the last year for Frank Gore, but obviously it's inevitable he'll come back for another season. Do you think Frank Gore could pass Walter Payton?
No, I think 626 yards. Well, I don't know. Maybe if he gets back on the Jets and Adam Gase is still around, but I don't know if he's going to quite get there. But Frank Gore's had an incredible career. I know we rip on him a lot because he steals work from some other fantasy running backs we're interested in, but he used to be so good back in the day, and it's incredible he's played this long just with how physical the game is nowadays, how big the players are. Just really a testament to, I mean, it's got to be a work ethic because you don't just make it to 16,000 yards just, you know, being a natural athlete. So big props to Frank Gore. We probably don't give him enough credit around here.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we've seen so many running backs, even over just say the last 5 years, rise and fall because running back is such a difficult position. It's really hard to have even like a 10-year career. And for Gore to still be productive might be too strong of a word for what he's done this year, but still be out there, those legs still churning. I mean, honestly, that's something that none of us could do for sure. So hat tip to Frank Gore on reaching 16,000 career rushing yards. Pretty fantastic stuff. Before we get into the games, just want to talk real quick. You know, we've been doing this really amazing live stream all season long, answering all your questions at the last minute as you wake up on Sunday morning and go, oh my God, I'm still panicking about who I'm starting at wide receiver this week. Well, Aaron Rader and Matt Dean all year long have been answering the call. And this morning, Eric Smith, you were answering the call too. So I wonder how many cups of coffee you've been on today as you've been doing this stuff all day long. But every week, and we're going to do it next Sunday. I know that there's still leagues out there that are playing through week 17. So we are going to do it before the 1 o'clock game start. And they'll answer all your questions. So if you're coming into the game, and we're probably going to have a lot of lineup questions this week, a lot of stuff up in the air, go to our Twitter at the QB List. You can find it on our website, QBList.com. We have a YouTube channel, QB List, and you can find the live stream and answer or get your questions answered by Aaron Rader and Matt Dean. Eric, who is your winner this week?
Well, I saved the easy one for you. I went with Jeff Wilson Jr. here. We kind of maybe lost in the shuffle here on Saturday, but he ran 22 times for 183 yards, caught a 21-yard touchdown. But I think the big news here, we're kind of looking ahead this week a little bit since fantasy leagues are primarily over. Tevin Coleman and Jerick McKinnon are free agents after this year. It really seems like Shanahan trusts Jeff Wilson Jr. Raheem Mostert's been hurt a lot. So maybe Coleman and McKinnon don't come back. And, you know, Wilson's a big part of this offense next year. He's looked really good while healthy. So I just, you know, Jeff Wilson Jr., he's versatile. He's solid. The coaches obviously trust him. And I believe he was an undrafted free agent. And he's really come a long way. So I believe he's a restricted free agent, which means they should be able to bring him back. And Jeff Wilson Jr. has excelled when he gets the workload. So he's my winner this year. It'll be interesting to see where he gets drafted. I'm not going to go overboard on him. But he's somebody we kind of sleep on every year. But he's kind of proven it at this point that he's a reliable running back.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson came into the year, probably everyone considered him fourth on the running back depth chart in San Francisco. And so, you know, would not have been drafted pretty much anywhere, you know, but with Tevin Coleman and Jerick McKinnon both having various levels of effectiveness and health. I mean, Coleman hardly played at all this year. Jeff Wilson has really stepped up as probably the 1B to Mostert's 1A on the season for the 49ers. And I could easily see him coming into next season. Now, assuming Mostert is still there, based on the way they've been used, I think we'll all still come into next season with the expectation that Mostert is the number one running back. But Wilson's probably going to be drafted among the high-end handcuffs, and he could very easily become the starting running back. We know, you know, Shanahan has absolutely no qualms with benching one running back in favor of another just based on how they're playing. So absolutely, Jeff Wilson has really risen in value this year, and I think he's going to get paid. He's going to, you know, and that's great for running backs who usually have a short window. Let's go to the negatives. Who's your loser this week?
Well, my loser would be Jared Goff if I didn't pick him last week. He looked awful against the Seahawks again, but we'll get to that one later. I went with Dwayne Haskins for the Washington football team. 14 of 28, 154 yards, two picks, a fumble loss, two sacks. In a game they really needed to win to lock up the NFC East. They're playing a Panthers team that doesn't have a lot to play for, but I think the worst sign here is they replaced him with Taylor Heinicke late in the game, which I am not very familiar with Taylor Heinicke. So it's a bad sign. The Haskins, you know, was already demoted from being a starter, and the fact that he can't even hold on to like the backup job here, big worries for him going forward. If you have him in a dynasty league, it's not looking good. You add in the strip club incident from over the weekend, not wearing a mask and all that stuff. So it's just not a good look for Haskins this week. And his stock is probably about as low as it's ever going to get.
Yeah, I wonder what was more painful for Haskins to lose, the starting job today or the $40,000 he was fined for his incident. Now, that, you know, that's quite an expensive Christmas present to himself. I don't know what we're looking at long term for Haskins. I don't know what we're looking at long term for Jared Goff. Neither of these guys look like NFL quality quarterbacks. So we're going to see what's going to happen in Washington and in Los Angeles moving forward. Obviously, football team fans out there are really hoping Alex Smith is ready to go for week 17 for their playoff chances. For me, By the way, Mike Miklius is not here this week. I just realized that we hadn't even mentioned that. He has spent the holidays with family, whatever that means. I don't know what those are, but good for him. And so that means I get a winner and a loser this week. So my winner is Alvin Kamara, because he won a lot of people a lot of leagues out there. Especially if for some reason you had both Alvin Kamara and Mike Evans, you're probably feeling really good right now. My loser is going to be me, because I lost in the championship of the QBL Futures League, kind of like a staff B league, you know, hoping to make our way up one day to the prime time staff league. And I lost against pitcherless manager Dave Churman. He doesn't even write for QBList. I mean, how I'm out here podcasting every week, twice a week, and I can't even beat this guy. I mean, it's tough. And worst of all, I wish I could say, hey, well, he had Alvin Kamara. He did not have Kamara. He did not have Mike Evans. Did not have Tom Brady. I just dropped the ball this week. So, you know, good for you, Dave, and back to the drawing board for me. Hopefully Eric keeps me on as podcast host next year, even despite this embarrassing loss.
Yeah, it's okay, Miles. I try to tell people, you know, people get obsessed with how luck-based fantasy football is, and it's true to some extent, but really the goal is to just get to the playoffs every year. You're going to hit those bad postseasons, but if you get to the postseason 5 years in a row, you'll luck into one or two here or there. So that's really how you have to look at fantasy football. As long as you're in the playoffs, you did your job for the year.
Yeah, you really just go with my Los Angeles Dodgers, you know, way of doing it. Just make the playoffs a bunch of times, and maybe one day you'll luck into winning it all. As long as you don't run into cheaters along the way. That's a whole different sport. Let's get into injury news today. You know, we're really just focusing on injuries that might still have an impact for fantasy or for the playoffs. J.K. Dobbins left with a chest injury. He did return, so that's good news. And the Ravens have a lot to play for next week, so can expect Dobbins to be starting if he's healthy. So keep an eye on his injury status. Chase Edmonds suffered a hip injury. He did not return to the game. The Cardinals definitely missed him, and that's someone you definitely want to keep an eye on. I know a lot of people out there have been flexing him week in and week out. So keep an eye on his status. If he's healthy, he's going to play, because the Cardinals need to win week 17 to have a chance of making the playoffs. Matthew Stafford sprained his ankle during Saturday's game. He could be held out for week 17. That was a really ugly game, and it would have been ugly even if Stafford was playing, but it got even worse without Stafford. So keep an eye on that. Lions don't have anything to play for. If Stafford's benched, I don't know if I want to play any Lions next week. What about you, Eric?
No, that was brutal on Saturday, whatever day of the week we're on. But yeah, you want to sit them all. I guess Swift, I mean, he got some work and he'd be interesting, but it really tanks the value of Marvin Jones.
Yeah, and it tanked the value of Marvin Jones mid-game after I finally took the plunge and started him. So I don't know why after all season long of telling everyone, you know, don't fall for Marvin Jones, I finally fell for him in the championship week. I have no one to blame but myself. As Eric mentioned, Tyler Heinicke replaced Dwayne Haskins. It was not injury related. It was just Dwayne Haskins sucks at being a quarterback related. So keep an eye on that. If Alex Smith is not ready to go next week, Taylor Heinicke will be the starter. Daryl Henderson, you know, got an ankle injury. He did not return to the game. You combine that with Cam Akers' high ankle sprain, and it sounded like Akers was doubtful to play week 17 in the first place. And now Malcolm Brown suddenly looks like the only healthy running back in a must-win week 17 against the Cardinals, who just let Jeff Wilson Jr. run all over them. Eric, is Malcolm Brown a must-add for teams who need a running back in a week 17 championship?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be the clearest must-add there is in this mess of a week 17. So, yeah, I would. The unfortunate part is that he's just not that good, but he's going to be getting the work. So, yeah, let's add him. I mean, he had 7 for 27 today. Henderson looked like the better back, but there's not going to be anyone left. So, yep, go add Malcolm Brown.
Yeah, and you probably won't know by Tuesday night if Henderson and Akers are good to go for week 17. We might know by then. The Henderson injury may end up being, oh, no, he's fine. He's going to be good to go. And if that's the case, then Brown, you can leave him on the waiver wire. But if Tuesday night comes around, we still don't know about Henderson and Akers. Just add Brown now, and then you can figure it out. I mean, there's nothing to save your waiver claim or fab budget for at this point. So go get Brown. And then if it turns out Henderson's healthy, then great. Yeah, you can put him on your bench and call it a day. And then Dallas Goedert was, you know, left the game with a calf injury. I don't know if he returned, but he also hasn't been that great with Jalen Hurts. It's been kind of like low end startable tight end production. I don't know. Do you feel like you can trust Dallas Goedert next week?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, he turned all three of his targets into 38 yards and three catches, so that was nice. We saw Zach Ertz get seven targets, though. He got a bunch last week as well. So he's chopping it up with Ertz. So, yeah, that's a lot less appealing than it was just a couple weeks ago. We'll see if Ertz can get things turned around. But I think Goddard's – I mean, he's in the streaming category. There are worse options out there, but he's certainly fallen quite a bit from his early season peak.
Yeah, it's definitely disappointing to see. Obviously – you know, anytime a quarterback change happens, there's going to be changes in targets and whatnot. And I know we're all hoping at least one of the tight ends would emerge as like the guy. Really, really splitting the work doesn't make either one of them all that fantasy relevant. Top performers of the week, guys who definitely did their best to give you all a nice Christmas present of winning a championship. Tom Brady, Andy Dalton, and Deshaun Watson at quarterback. Dalton is just 13% rostered. So if anyone out there actually started him maybe in a 2QB league, you were definitely rewarded today. And Tom Brady, he had 29 fantasy points all in just the first half as the Buccaneers just decided to sit him as they were beating the Lions by like 30. So probably would have been nicer if Brady played the whole game, especially since Blaine Gabbert came out and I believe threw for two more touchdowns. Those could have been Brady's. So, I mean, anyone could have thrown that first touchdown to Gronk. I don't know if you saw it, but the Lions just kind of forgot to guard him. Just put anyone out there like, yo, Gronk, just run in the end zone and you'll be wide open and it's fine. And Gabbert had literally the easiest touchdown throw of his life. So that should have been Brady's. Running back, obviously Alvin Kamara, but also Myles Gaskin really coming back from injury strong, 33.9 fantasy points in PPR, really coming through with the receiving work. And then Eric Samaje Perine, 29 fantasy points, 95 rushing yards, two touchdowns. I mean, it was against the Texans, so there's that. But is Samaje Perine interesting for next week?
No. The Texans, both of these defenses looked really bad. The Texans defense looked especially bad. He was mixing in behind Gio Bernard, so Gio Bernard was still getting the snaps. Perine looked like the better running back on the ground, so maybe he's going to keep getting his work, but he busted like a 40-some yarder for most of his value. So, no, I mean, you know, week 17 gets crazy, so maybe he does have some value, but he's kind of the low end of the snap share with Bernard.
Now, the Bengals do play the Ravens next week. Ravens have a pretty good defense, so that might also be a bit of a damper.
Well, the Bengals have a two-game winning streak, knocked off the Steelers and the Texans, so that's cool.
You better knock on some wood there, buddy. All right, a wide receiver, Mike Evans, the number one receiver with 40 points. Michael Gallup, number two, he scored 30 points, had two touchdowns on the day. Now, I was going to save this for the Cowboys segment, but we should talk about it kind of up at the top. Michael Gallup, since the Cowboys bye week, has actually been really interesting. He's been averaging seven targets per game and 13 points per game in PPR. Now, it's been like some blow-up games and some very bad games. So, obviously, very streaky, but I think he's had at least six targets in five of the six games. Is Michael Gallup at all interesting for you against the New York Giants next week?
I mean, he's on the field a lot. I mean, he sees more snaps than CeeDee Lamb, so he's out there. If Dalton's going to keep playing this well, then potentially, I mean, I thought they were going to struggle a little more with the Eagles with Darius Slay back. So the Giants team isn't exactly, you know, firing in all cylinders. So I think he's still kind of a deeper league play or a flex play, but Gallup certainly rebounded. I think he's had some near touchdowns too over the streak where it could have even been better, maybe the previous games. So yeah, I mean, we know he's a good player and he's out there. So yeah, he's worth a look in some leagues.
Yeah. I mean, he came into draft season being drafted, I believe, in around the seventh round. So he was definitely someone we were high on the talent level coming into the year. Obviously, the Dak injury really just put a damper on this whole offense. And then Jamison Crowder, the number three wide receiver, he's had two straight good weeks. I know that we like were out on Crowder and out on the whole Jets offense, but you know, two game winning streak, two great weeks for Jamison Crowder. Is it potentially room for a trilogy here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it must have just been that injury midseason. He was slow coming back. Some of the other receivers had worked their way in, but he sure seemed locked into Crowder now. So, yeah, I think he's back on the starting radar. I'll admit, when I was writing up the show notes, I stared at this for a long time trying to figure out how Crowder had more points than Brandon Cooks right below him, who had 50 more yards. I tried to figure this out a lot longer than I care to admit, and I finally realized Jameson Crowder threw for a 40-yard touchdown. So that was not showing up in the line. Yeah, so that boosted his day as well. But no, I mean, hey, they're going to him. He's getting touchdowns. And the Jets are kind of decent lately. It's weird to say. But so, yeah, I think he's a playable wide receiver.
I mean, they've beaten two teams with legitimate playoff hopes. And they honestly, based on how things have turned out, they might have knocked two teams out of the playoffs that otherwise could have been in it. Yeah. Now they do play the Patriots next week, and the Patriots don't have playoff hopes, so maybe the Jets like won't have weird voodoo magic to pull. So, you know, who knows? Yeah. At tight end, Irv Smith, the number one tight end, and this was without Kyle Rudolph again for the Vikings. I mean, with week 17, with Rudolph kind of older than Frank Gore, I don't know if that's actually true, but I mean, he's definitely up there. Is Irv Smith someone that you want to grab? Like, if you had Dallas Goedert and Irv Smith is out there on waiver wires, and we assume, let's say both of them are playing, who are you grabbing?
Man, I mean, they're playing the Lions, so that's, we love that right now. I'm always a little worried because he's still splitting the work with Tyler Conklin, and it worries me just in a low volume passing offense to have a tight end that's splitting the work with another tight end, not to mention behind two receivers. But man, if they're against the Lions, I say go for it. I mean, we like Irv Smith. He's a talented player. We've always hoped for more usage, and it seems to be happening. So yeah, I say pick him up and go with it.
Yeah, Irv Smith feels like the kind of tight end that really should be a lot more successful as a receiver than he has been. And part of that is because, you know, the Vikings really just don't want to throw the ball very much. But maybe they will next week. Maybe, you know, between them and the Lions, they'll both just chuck the ball all day and, you know, we'll get something out of it. Jimmy Graham, number two tight end. He's really come back in a big way now. He did score two touchdowns, which is usually his method of success. And the Bears have something to play for next week. They'll be playing the Packers. In a you know, win or go home pretty much for them. So is Jimmy Graham someone that you might want to buy into as well?
Man, he's tricky too, because it's he's still getting like outsnapped like double by Cole Kmet. So he's like the backup tight end, but he's also the goal line tight end. So, you know, he's going to have a shot at touchdowns. It worked out today. I wouldn't want to trust it most weeks. But I mean, he got decent enough volume without the touchdowns. So yeah, you could do worse at tight end. I think if you look at how many snaps he's actually on the field, there's just not a lot of margin for error.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's not out there very much, but like you said, he's out there when it counts, you know, near the goal line, and at tight end, all you need sometimes is a touchdown to have a good day. And then the third best tight end on the day was some guy named Travis Kelce. I don't know who that is. All right. Playoff watch. So real quick, we have only a few games left this week. We have a lot of playoff implications still on the line. I believe there's seven teams fighting for a wild card spot between the two conferences. So there's a lot at stake. So if you just real quick, we're going to give you a quick playoff picture, things to look for next week. We'll start in the AFC. The Bills clinched the AFC East. They will host a first round game. So I don't know. I don't know if it really matters for the Bills, how they do today, how they do next week. So I don't know if they have much to play for. And similarly, the Steelers clinched the AFC North. They clinched that today with their win over the Colts. They will also host a first round game. Those two are pretty much locked in. I don't know, Eric, if you think either of these teams are going to be playing their starters next week in a pretty much meaningless game.
Yeah, this is going to be one of the big things to watch going into next week for what the coaches are saying, because how much do teams even care about home field this year? I mean, I know they don't have to deal with the COVID travel, so that might be a reason to want to play at home, but without the big crowds, you don't have the crowd noise. So I would expect both teams to probably play their starters just to stay fresh, but you could certainly see some people get benched in the second half, or if there's any kind of an injury, a player gets rested. So I'd kind of maybe expect like three quarters of a full effort here, but not like some of these other teams that are fighting for their playoff lives.
Now, I also wonder if this year for the AFC, being the second and third seed is like where you want to be, and much more valuable than being the fourth seed where you'd have to play the Chiefs in the second round. So, you know, assuming all the top seeds win, obviously if a lower seeded team wins, that'll change everything in the bracket. But I would personally kind of hope to avoid the Chiefs in round two. That might be something I'd be looking for. The Titans are still kind of in the hunt. The Colts are still in the hunt even after losing to the Steelers. They're just a half game behind the Titans, who are playing against the Packers right now. So keep an eye on that. AFC South still very much up for grabs. AFC West, not at all, because the Chiefs have not only clinched the division, but they've clinched top seed in the entire AFC. So I assume the Chiefs are not going to be playing at full strength next week. And even if they are, it might only be for like a quarter and a half.
Yeah, I agree with that. Especially, I mean, they're awfully thin on offense, like beyond Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Like, if something happened to one of them, they'd be in a world of trouble. So I don't know why you would risk it at all. And then not to mention Mahomes, who's the best player on the planet. So, yeah, I would take it very easy next week. I do get it. I mean, they're going to get a bye, so maybe they don't want to completely lose their rhythm. But I would just – if you can get to the playoffs with Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill, you're in good shape.
Right, and especially after they just suffered the loss of Clyde Edwards-Helaire last week. So they just saw firsthand – what they could have, at stake if they were to play all their starters next week. So, keep an eye on reports out of camp. And then the four teams you definitely know in the AFC have a lot to play for and are for sure going to be playing their starters full go next week. The Cleveland Browns, the Baltimore Ravens, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Miami Dolphins. All four teams are 10-5. There are only 3 wild card spots available among those four teams. So, they're all going to want to win, potentially even get one of the higher seeds and maybe not have to play someone like the Steelers in the first round. In the NFC, the Packers, Saints, and Seahawks have all clinched their divisions. So that is their set. However, the bye is up in the air. Now, if the Packers win tonight, they will have a head start on getting that bye, but it doesn't mean anything. If all three teams tie next week after week 17, who knows who's going to get that bye. So I don't know if they're going to be playing for the bye or if they're just going to be fine with, getting healthy and, being healthy in the playoffs. Do you expect these teams with potentially a first round bye up for grabs? Do you expect them to go all out in week 17 to potentially get that?
Yeah, I think if it's up in the air and they have any chance, they're going to go all out. I mean, that bye week is just huge. That's one less week you can get upset, have a bad bounce go your way and you lose. So if they think they even have a shot at the bye, they're going to go all out. So it'll be really interesting to see if the Packers pull this off. It takes some of the interest out of it. But if they lose, it's going to be a fight for that bye.
Well, and technically, even if the Packers win, there's still a good chance that the Packers will not have the number one seed, just depending on what happens in week 17. I'm trying to see. So the Packers play at 10 a.m. or sorry, at 1 p.m. Eastern time for all of you East Coast people. So they have the early game, and then the Seahawks have a later game. So they'll know, but the Saints play at the same time. So maybe the only team that I'd be worried about if the Packers win tonight is the Seahawks. Because the Seahawks will know by their start time if they're in or out for that number one seed. As for the NFC East, I just have written down in the notes, LOL, because for some reason, somehow there's still 3 teams left that could win the division depending on what happens. Because even though the Giants are 5-10, they're not out of it. The Eagles are the only team that have been eliminated, and they were eliminated today. So the Washington football team, New York Giants, and Dallas Cowboys all have a lot to play for next week. Their games are at the same time. So you can – all those guys, they're going to be starting. You should be good to go there. As for the wild card spots, the Buccaneers have clinched a wild card spot. They're definitely going to make it. But there are still 2 spots left between the Los Angeles Rams, the Chicago Bears, and the Arizona Cardinals. So if you have anyone on the Rams, Bears, or Cardinals, they're going to be playing their starters. But with the Buccaneers, while they don't have a playoff spot – to play for, they do have seeding to play for. It is possible that if they lose and the Rams win, that they'll drop to the 6th seed and not get the right to play the NFC East division winner in the first round. And then they'll have to play potentially the Seahawks or the Saints in the first round. Do you expect them to try and avoid that scenario and play their starters to beat the Falcons in week 17?
Yeah, I could see that Tampa Bay has been up and down enough anyway. I could see them wanting another week of work just to get ready for the playoffs. I know they just blew out the Lions, but it certainly hasn't been smooth this year. So, yeah, I think they can use all the help they can get in the playoffs. They're not one of the favorites. So, yeah, I think it makes sense for them to kind of fight for seeding here and just get themselves in the best position possible. And they're pretty deep at receiver, so they're not quite like the Chiefs, I don't think, where one injury could just tank them.
Yeah, I feel like the only thing I'd be nervous about is Tom Brady getting benched if the game is out of hand, just like we saw against the Lions. And then also, I don't know if Ronald Jones will be playing this week, but I also expect them to handle him with kid gloves because even if he is healthy for week 17, he's missed 2 games in a row now. He's recovering from the pinky surgery. I could easily see them saying, you know what, between Keyshawn Vaughn and Leonard Fournette and kind of LeSean McCoy, we got this. Ronald Jones will maybe let him play a few snaps, but we're not going to let him go out there and get hurt. So that's a team that I would definitely be nervous about. Like, if I had Tom Brady, I would 100% be looking for a different quarterback. Okay, that was it on the playoff picture. We'll kind of talk a little bit about it as we talk about each game. But, that, you know, if you were looking for everything you need to know in one place, that was it. Let's talk about Christmas Day game between the New Orleans Saints and the Minnesota Vikings. The Saints absolutely walled the Vikings 52-33. Kamara wearing those Christmas Day shoes that he's almost, I saw this tweet. He's almost certainly going to be fined for them. And those shoes are almost certainly going to the Hall of Fame in Canton. So, you know, nice little duality of the NFL there. Saints still have the top seed on the line. So they should probably be playing at full strength next week. What do you think are the Saints' playoff chances this year? And probably a pretty wide open NFC.
Man, I'm still pretty down on the passing game. I mean, I think they've got a great defense. They obviously have talented running backs, but I just don't know if they get themselves in a shootout and they need Drew Brees to, you know, make come back from 14 down or go toe-to-toe with Rodgers if they can quite pull that off. So I don't know. I mean, Brees looked better, but I mean, they were just doing everything they wanted to on the ground with Kamara. So he should look good in that situation. So I'm just worried when kind of their backs are against the wall, if they can pull it out. So I think they're a clear step behind like the Packers, and they can fight with those other teams, but I would take the Packers over them in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Brees looked better, but he still threw a couple of pretty bad picks. And one of them was pretty severely underthrown, thrown behind, I believe it was Jared Cook. And that is just kind of throw that I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you have like a 40-year-old quarterback who has a million miles on his arm. Like, sometimes those throws just aren't going to be there when he rears back and tries to make them. So that's definitely a concern. I think you're absolutely right. They have one of the best defenses in the NFL. They have one of the best running games in the NFL. So hopefully they can lean on that. But I don't know. The passing game scares me.
I mean, you look at that NFC now, though, when these playoff teams are kind of looking crummier by the week, I feel like. So, I mean, they could beat Seattle. They could beat Washington, Chicago, Los Angeles, Tampa Bay. So it's really just the Packers I would worry about. Maybe Tampa Bay if they get rolling. So it's not going to be the Saints of old where they're winning shootouts. So they're going to need to grind these things out and keep Kamara running hot here.
Yeah, I mean, every team has their holes. Every team has their flaws in the NFC. So that's why I said it's a pretty wide open playoff race. And I almost wonder if it's going to come down to like which team can hide their flaws the best. Like, can the Saints keep a lead and just hang on to it? Can the Seahawks, you know, avoid having to play against a good pass rush, or can their offensive line stop anyone from getting Russell Wilson? You know, those are the kind of things that I'm concerned about. I mean, Packers don't have a great defense, so there's a lot of holes in every single team. Vikings don't have anything to play for next week. Do we expect Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson to all be out there?
That's a good question. I mean, it seems like you'd let the rookie have another week and kind of pad his stats. So I would think Jefferson would be out there. I'm sure Thielen's going to fight to be out there. They'll probably let him play a decent amount. I would take it awfully easy with Dalvin Cook personally, but I don't know. I mean, I'm drawing a blank on their coach's name, Zimmer. Zimmer's a pretty old school coach, so he may throw people out there, but I think maybe after the half, you could see a lot of these people hitting the bench.
Yeah, Jefferson is probably the only one that I feel fully confident about. I don't see why you don't just play the rookie. You know, he's got a long career ahead of him. And at wide receiver, too, it's not like a position where the longevity is just so short that it's like you don't every game you're taking years off the legs or whatever. Whereas with Dalvin Cook, you know, they just signed him to that extension, so they may want to protect the investment. That may not be Mike Zimmer's choice. You know, that might come from above him. So just keep an eye on the practice reports and what, you know, Mike Zimmer says this week. You know, they're a team that could easily bench players. Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Saturday absolutely demolished the Detroit Lions. It was one of the worst games I think I've ever seen. It was like 34-0 at halftime. They straight up benched Tom Brady because, like, why even put him back out there? Blaine Gabbert immediately comes in and throws probably the easiest touchdown pass of his life, as the Lions just said, we don't need a guard, Rob. I think I already went over that, but you know, it was just mind blowing to see that out on the field from the Lions. We talked a lot about the Buccaneers and what they might be playing for next week. There's a good chance that they're going to be playing hard to keep that 5 seed and have a matchup with whoever comes out of the NFC East in the first round. But I gotta bring this up. So their playoff chances, the Buccaneers seem to be probably one of the most well-rounded teams. I mean, they can pass the ball. They've got a pretty good running game. They've got a great defense. They're 1-5 this year against teams that might be headed to the playoffs. They beat the Packers, and they blew out the Packers 38-10, but they've lost to the Saints twice. They've lost to the Bears, the Rams, and the Chiefs. So I don't know. I mean, 1-5 against playoff teams. They've really made their record against the crummy teams in the NFL.
Yeah, it's odd. I think some of it, Brady under pressure, he can't move like he used to. And if he can't sit back there and has time, it gets a little rough. And then I wonder if some of it, they're so good at stopping the run, that kind of handles some of these worst teams that kind of rely on the run and don't have a great quarterback. But, you know, if it's Mahomes or someone like that out there, it's like, well, we don't need to run the ball. We'll just throw it all day on you. So I wonder if that's part of it. But no, I think that they, I mean, despite that stat, I think if they got hot, they got as good a chance as anyone. They finally this last week started getting, you know, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin really involved. And I think that bodes well for them in the playoffs. So, yeah, I agree. I think they've got a pretty complete team. And I mean, I'd take Tom Brady over Jared Goff right now, you know, so it could be worse at quarterback than Brady.
I think there's a very good chance that Jared Goff will be the worst quarterback in the playoffs this year. And that includes whoever the heck is starting a quarterback for whatever NFC East team makes it to the playoffs. I've not been feeling good about Jared Goff this year. With the Detroit Lions, I got to say, it's really such a lost season for them. I mean, not that they were like some powerhouse entering the year, but Kenny Golladay only played in 5 games after emerging as a top 10 wide receiver last season. I went and looked at the ADP on Yahoo. He was the 8th wide receiver drafted coming into this year. So we're all really high on him. You know, only see 5 games out of him, you know, wasted another year of Matthew Stafford. It really sucks. Kind of feel like after firing Matt Patricia and also the whole coaching staff not being there this week, which was one of the odder things I've seen from the NFL. I wonder if they're just going to blow it up and just everything that isn't DeAndre Swift and Kenny Golladay and probably Matt Stafford, just because quarterbacks usually don't change franchises like that. I feel like everything else that they could easily let go.
Yeah, well, even Golladay, I got their contracts up. He's a free agent, so they're going to have to pay him a lot of money. Is Marvin Jones, too. So it's going to be interesting to see if someone comes in and wants to build around Stafford, what they do. I would imagine you want to build around Stafford just because – I mean, you really have to blow it up if you're going to move away from him. But I don't know if they pay Golladay a ton of money or if they – maybe he's cheaper now that he was hurt. But, yeah, this is going to be a crazy offseason here. I think the one advantage is I'm not sure how much worse it can get than Matt Patricia. So maybe we're just kind of looking at, like, when McVay took over for the Rams, you know, with after Jeff Fisher. Like, anyone can give him a boost. So that would be the positive here. But they kind of have to start from scratch on offense unless they spend up on some of these receivers to bring him back.
Yeah, I almost feel like we could see Marvin Jones might be someone that is signable for like a contending team because the Lions are going to pay Golladay and let Jones walk. If I was like, say, the Packers, you know, and I knew I needed someone else out there besides Devontae, I might look at Marvin Jones and bring him into the fold as like a solid veteran wide receiver. But yeah, I mean, hopefully we can see more of DeAndre Swift next week. Only 10 carries, you know, they were losing by a million. But hopefully we can see more DeAndre Swift. I imagine they'll let him play, just like the Vikings will let Justin Jefferson play. But outside of that, I don't know if there's anyone in Detroit you can trust in Week 17.
Yep, I would agree. This offense is a wreck without Stafford, so that's kind of the most important part.
Yeah, definitely keep an eye on that. All right, San Francisco 49ers beat the Arizona Cardinals 20-12. This was a huge loss for the Cardinals as they really needed to win to really have a good chance of making the playoffs. Now they have to play the Rams in Week 17 in a win-or-go-home situation. So definitely not a good feeling in Arizona, as they should have won this one. But, you know, they couldn't stop Jeff Wilson. They couldn't stop George Kittle. That's right, George Kittle's back. I mean, 4 receptions for 92 yards. Not a typical George Kittle game, but he's back, and you definitely should be starting him in Week 17 because he's going to play and he's going to want the ball a lot.
Yeah, he looked good too. He dropped his 5th target. He could have had 5 catches, and that would have been a big chunk of yardage. And he looked like the old Kittle. He was breaking tackles, so I think he slots probably right back in. What, top 3 tight end, I would guess, going forward. He's way up there.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's for sure still going to be a top 3 tight end pick next year. The he'll be far removed from the injury. And when he was healthy, he looked like a fantastic tight end. I would be very surprised if he was below three in your rankings for next week, because I he's going to be great. As for the Cardinals, they're going to be playing everyone. So you can feel, you can still feel good about Kyler Murray and Kenyon Drake and DeAndre Hopkins. Do you want to trust Christian Kirk? It's 7 receptions, 76 yards on 10 targets this week against the 49ers. You know, against the Rams, we'll probably see Jalen Ramsey shadow DeAndre Hopkins. Might be a decent chance for Christian Kirk to have a good game.
Yeah, I'm not going to trust him. I just think that Ramsey shadowing Hopkins will just kind of derail this offense. It had been pretty bad for Kirk for quite a number of weeks before this one. Last time they played the Rams, they played him just back on December 6th. Christian Kirk had 3 targets, 1 catch, and 2 yards. So that's just, he's just got such a low floor. I'm not going to trust him. I would hope you have other options. And I mean, I suppose week 17, if it's just chaos out there, people are getting benched left and right, like he's at least on the field and they're trying to win. But that's about the best I can say about Kirk.
He is on the field and they have to play. Yeah, so I mean, and it's funny, right after I mentioned the Ramsey shadowing Hopkins thing, I was reminded, you know, of a something I saw right after that week of like, well, we all thought Ramsey shadowing Hopkins might mean more work for Kirk, but what it actually meant was just a ton of short routes for Hopkins, a lot of really short throws. He had 13 targets, 8 receptions, but only 52 yards. So probably gonna be more of the same from the Cardinals against the Rams again next week. Is there anyone else that we kind of need to talk about? Chase Edmonds, we mentioned at the top of the show, left with a hip injury. So, you know, definitely keep an eye on his status for next week, because that'll have big implications, not just for himself, but also Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, that's just big news for Drake. If Edmonds is out, he gets a massive workload. I'd imagine they'd probably activate Eno Benjamin, who's a pass catcher, but it would be a ton of Kenyon Drake. So I would expect a lot of Kyler Murray rushing next week if they're playing with the playoffs on the line. He had 8 for 75 this week, so I would expect something like that.
If the Cardinals do make the playoffs, I just have to ask, do they really have much of a chance in the first round? They'll almost certainly have to play against one of Green Bay, New Orleans, or Seattle.
Yeah, Arizona's been a team that I have not been very impressed with, and I feel like every week I'm down on them. They then bounce back, and then every week I'm like, okay, well, it's Kyler Murray. They're good. Then they lose to someone they shouldn't. So they're hard for me to figure out. But, yeah, I wouldn't put them – I don't think they'd go very far. I mean, they've lost to the 49ers, the Patriots, like not that many weeks ago. The Patriots weren't playing well. Lost to the Dolphins. I guess that turned out to be an okay loss. But lost to the Panthers, lost to the Lions. They've lost to some subpar teams here. So, but then they've also, you know, they beat the Bills. That was on a Hail Mary play. Really, over a long stretch now, they've beat the Giants and the Eagles. Those are their only wins. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to hang with most of these teams. I don't like the play calling. And Kyler Murray maybe just isn't as good enough of a passer right now to be able to overcome the subpar play calling. He's good enough as a rusher, but if Hopkins isn't working, he's kind of looking for answers still.
All right. Miami beat the Las Vegas Raiders 26-25, eliminating the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders weren't going to make the playoffs most likely anyway, but this officially eliminated the Raiders, and the Dolphins kept their own playoff hopes alive. They're now 10-5. Thanks to one of the greatest no-look passes of all time. Not intentional. Ryan Fitzpatrick was very much looking Matt Collins' way, but his face was very much being turned as he was chucking that. And it was honestly an incredible throw, and you know, really great on Holland's part to hold onto that as he was getting absolutely pummeled pretty much right as he caught that pass. So, I mean, even Mahomes said that was one of the best no-look passes ever.
Yeah, I was saying on the live stream before the kickoff today that Fitzpatrick certainly isn't one of the 5 best quarterbacks in the league, but like if you saw that play and guessed who made it, I think he'd be one of your like first 5 choices. Like it was just a very Ryan Fitzpatrick play. And they say they're sticking with Tua, so I think Fitzpatrick is like the closer at this point. He comes in and wins the game for the Dolphins in the end with Fitzmagic. So I kind of love it. I don't know if it's quite fair for Fitzpatrick, but that's the life of, you know, however old he is, quarterback who's been on the bench quite a bit in his career. So that's just how it goes when you got a 5th overall pick and Tua there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Fitzpatrick has been on many benches throughout his career. He's played for many teams, probably just happy to be on a winning team here and have a chance really to make plays for a winning team. So, yeah, that was very much a Fitzpatrick throw. You know, and just really great to see him still continue to thrive. Miami almost certainly is going to need to beat the Bills next week in Buffalo. So I don't, that might be tough. I don't know how much Buffalo will be, you know, trying. But, you know, if they do make the playoffs, how do you feel about this Dolphins team that has a lot of questions about their offense?
Yeah, it's the offense for me. I mean, they've been pretty good running the ball, and Myles Gaskin came back in and they just gave him the workload immediately over Salvin Ahmed. So they seem to like Gaskin the most. I like him. He's a good player. They have some weapons in the passing game, but no, I don't trust Tua enough yet. I think he's got a long ways to go. I think he hasn't looked anywhere near as good as Burrow or Herbert or even Jalen Hurts, honestly. I mean, he runs the offense, but he's a smart player and he's got a bright future, but he's nowhere near a playoff caliber quarterback right now. So I would expect them to get beat by a team that can put up some points personally.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a good defense, but it's been a defense mostly built on turnovers and sacks. Well, I mean, which is a hallmark of a good defense. But they do give up a lot of yards, and you know, it's not exactly like a stout defense, right? We're not talking like Colts or Steelers that can absolutely shut down an entire offense, take away whatever they want to do. So, probably a first round exit for the Dolphins, but a really exciting season for them, and hopefully something they can continue to build on as Tua becomes a more well-rounded, skilled passer. We got it. Oh, sorry. But real quick, before we move on to the next game, Raiders are eliminated. They play a completely meaningless game against the Broncos next week. If I have Josh Jacobs or Darren Waller, should I be concerned?
Meaningless game against the Broncos. I would be concerned with Jacobs. Waller, we might get – he's so good, we might get enough out of him that we're fine. So definitely read, you know, what Gruden says. But, yeah, I would have a hard time seeing, like, 28 carries for Jacobs, and that's kind of what he needs. He hasn't been busting off big plays this year. So he'd be my biggest concern.
He's been very volume-dependent for sure. All the games that he does well in, you know, he's got, like, 23, 25 carries. So that's something to be concerned about for sure. Okay, so now we have to talk about – the number one game from today, which was the New York Jets beating the Cleveland Browns 23-16. That is a 2-game winning streak from the Jets against two playoff teams, two potential playoff teams, really getting their playoff hope. I mean, the Browns could have clinched with a win today against the Jets, and now they're in trouble. They're on the verge of missing the playoffs for the 18th straight season, which is the longest active streak in the NFL. They still have the Seattle Mariners and I think the Sacramento Kings to thank. I think only the Mariners have a longer playoff drought than the Browns right now. I just want to point out the last time they fell just short of the playoffs. This is some cruel irony if it happens again this year. It was 2007. They finished with a 10-6 record and they lost out on a wild card tiebreaker. And there is a very good chance that that could happen again this year. They do play. Who do they play next week? They do play Steelers. The Steelers, who might not have anything to play for. Although the Steelers might play hard just for the lulls of keeping the Browns out of the playoff. What are the Browns' playoff chances if they actually make it there?
So, I mean, today was weird because they didn't have any of their receivers against the Jets. They lost Landry, Higgins, and Peoples-Jones even. So I'll give them a little bit of a mulligan. They still should have been able to beat the Jets, though. I think their defense we hoped would be a little better by now with Gaskin rushing the passer, and it just hasn't quite come together. So I think that's what's letting them down. As far as the playoffs, I don't think they can really hang with Baltimore, Buffalo, or Tennessee. Pittsburgh, I thought they would have a chance against Pittsburgh, but after this week, I don't know. Pittsburgh kind of went up and Cleveland went down. So, yeah, I think they're kind of in that Dolphins range. But, you know, hey, if they got the lead, I mean, they've got a good coach, good play calling. If they can run the ball and get some play action going, they could pull an upset. But I think they're a clear tier below.
Yeah, man, this is really a missed opportunity for the Browns. It's going to be a rough game to watch next week against the Steelers for sure. Now, the Jets have officially clinched the number 2 pick in the 2021 NFL draft. No matter what happens next week, the Jaguars will have the number 1 pick and the Jets will have the number 2 pick. Sorry, I'm just so used to the Browns always having like a top 4 pick that like in my mind immediately went there. Now, just some food for thought real quick, because I know Jets fans everywhere are crying about losing out on Trevor Lawrence and all that. I just real quick, going back to 2012. That was the last time that the first quarterback drafted in the draft was actually a franchise quarterback. You have to go back, and that's ignoring 2019 and 2020. It's way too early to tell on guys like Kyler Murray and Joe Burrow, although I'm sure you will completely disagree. Joe Burrow already is for sure a franchise quarterback.
I was about to ask if that was a shot at Burrow, so I'm glad you cleared
that. No. In 2018, during the 2018 season, we all thought Baker Mayfield was a franchise quarterback, and look at what's happened since then. So I'm not trying to say anything about Burrow specifically, just, you know, too early. Andrew Luck was the quarterback in 2012, obviously franchise quarterback. Now, he also wasn't the best quarterback in his own draft. Russell Wilson was drafted in the third round that year. Obviously, I mean, we can probably debate the merits, but I think Wilson's probably a better quarterback than Luck. 2013, the first quarterback drafted was EJ Manuel. 2014, it was Blake Bortles at number three. 2015 was Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, the top two. I don't think either one of those guys really made it to the level of franchise quarterback. I mean, Winston had the memes, so I guess there's that. 2016, it was Jared Goff and Carson Wentz picked 1-2. Definitely neither of those guys are franchise quarterbacks, although they're both paid like it. 2017, Trubisky was picked 2. Obviously, we all know Mahomes and Watson went 10 and 12 in that draft. And then in 2018, Baker was picked number 1 overall. I think at this point, I mean, it's tough. Baker's looked better. And it's so fresh, but Josh Allen was picked 7th and Lamar Jackson picked 32nd. And I think I would rather have either of those guys as my quarterback right now than Baker. So it's not a guarantee that Trevor Lawrence is going to be like the stud quarterback out of this draft. So that's all I wanted to say. Obviously I know Lawrence is a better prospect than most of the guys I just named, but you know, anything can happen.
I totally agree with you. My counter as a Bengals fan who probably feels very similar to Jets fans is that our franchises are so incompetent that you need the slam dunk pick, which is why when people were asking if the Bengals would trade Burrow, it was like, no, because this is a pick they can't mess up. I know you can argue over, is Burrow ever going to be like an Aaron Rodgers type, but it's pretty clear he's a starting quarterback. And it was an idiot proof pick for the Bengals. It was the same for the Jets with Lawrence. And now all of a sudden they have the second pick and they've got to figure out, do you take a quarterback? Do you trade back? Do you take best player? What do you do? And so I understand why Jets fans are freaking out, because it is not an easy pick now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously you want Trevor Lawrence. You want the number one pick. I just, you know, there's hope at the end of that tunnel for Jets fans.
I do.
It's not a lot of light and it's a pretty long tunnel, but it's there. Don't worry. Big game from playoff implications between the Steelers and the Colts. This actually was probably the most interesting game of the day, as the Colts led for much of the game and the Steelers really came back late to win 28-24. The Steelers clinched the AFC North with this win. They could be playing for seeding, but again, there's no second bye week up for grabs, as there's now 14 teams in the playoffs. So really, you know, they're going to be playing a first round game no matter what. So I don't know how hard they're going to play next week against the Browns. For the playoffs, I don't know about the Steelers. Like, they can't run the ball, or they don't run the ball, or does it matter if they can't or don't? Because both are bad. How do you feel about their chances in the playoffs?
Man, I mean, I was ready to write them off at halftime. They were down 21-7. Roethlisberger looked terrible. The Colts looked pretty good. Rivers was looking good, and it completely flipped in the second half. They finally started throwing downfield, which I think it was just, I mean, I think the announcers, was it Romo? I think Romo was announcing it. He mentioned it, and I kind of agreed with it. Like, Roethlisberger doesn't look that bad when he's throwing downfield. They just haven't been doing it. And they started throwing downfield, and it opened things up. So, if the defense is going to lock down teams like they did the Colts in the second half, they could definitely make a run. But I think I would probably take Bills and Titans and Chiefs ahead of them still. They've just, I don't know. I'm not going to trust them after 1 week, but I wonder if this says more about the Colts than it does the Steelers here. They really had a chance to lock this up and they did nothing in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely more concerned about the Colts. Their offense is just so bad. And it's been bad all year long. They've had enough offense to win games, as they have, you know, one of the best defenses in the NFL. And they've had some games where they got hot for just long enough that they were able to put up like 3 touchdowns in like, you know, a quarter and a half, and that was enough for them, you know, to kind of make it through the game. It was not enough today against the Steelers. So I just wonder about them against elite teams, which kind of preempted my next question, which was, what are the Colts' chances if they make it to the playoffs? They're, you know, in the big clump of wildcard teams fighting for one of those last spots.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of like solid top to bottom. I think they're a good team, but they just seem to be lacking playmakers. I mean, you look at them, like if they're against, you know, Tennessee, who's got A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, or the Bills, who have Diggs, and, you know, they're just, even the Steelers have some more playmakers. So just Rivers' arm is kind of shot, and even when he needs a play, he doesn't really have anyone to go to. So they're really going to need that defense to play lights out and Jonathan Taylor to take over. So they could knock off, unlike the Browns, I think they could knock off like Baltimore, Pittsburgh, but I still, Buffalo, Tennessee, and Kansas City, that's the top tier for me. I just think they have the most upside if they're playing their best game. But, I mean, it's weird with Rivers. He's been graded out pretty well with his play this year, like according to advanced metrics, and he looked good in the first half, but just when he needed plays in the second half, it wasn't there. He was sacked 5 times. I don't know. It's just tough with that arm. Every throw he makes, it looks like it's going to get picked, but he's still a decent player, but it's ugly watching it.
Well, he had like 3 or 4 like interceptions that, or should have been interceptions in the final few minutes. And then finally actually threw an interception, but it just was just like, I don't know. It was just bad. So I watched like the last 5 minutes and I did not like what I saw from the Colts offense. So I'm very concerned about them in the playoffs for sure. Defense is fantastic though. Yeah. But
they did look good in the first half. It just completely fell apart. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe they can put together a whole game in the playoffs, but I'm not betting on it.
Well, and so since they're going to be playing for all the marbles next week, you can feel good about Jonathan Taylor. But as all year long, I don't think you can feel good about any of the other Colts offense. T.Y. Hilton finally came back down to earth. I mean, he still had 7 targets. So I guess, you know, kind of similar to talking about Christian Kirk earlier, if you've got wide receivers just going down left and right and you're sitting on T.Y. Hilton, it might not be a terrible play. He gets targeted a lot. I mean, that's about all I can say. And he's been good lately. As for the Steelers, there's a good chance that they sit everyone. So just keep an eye. Maybe the only person they sit is Ben. And maybe that's enough I don't know if I would trust these wide receivers if it wasn't Ben Roethlisberger throwing them the ball.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. They need more work on offense, but yeah, a couple more shots from Ben, he could be knocked out. So you would want to keep him safe.
Yeah. All right. The Cincinnati Bengals beat the Houston Texans in a completely meaningless game. But hey, you know, football was played in Houston today and the Bengals won the game. So that must have felt pretty good, huh, Eric?
I felt like a Jets fan today because I realized after the game kicked off that the Bengals were 4-10-1. And what was it? I'm trying to remember what the Texans record was. 5-11. No, I'm too far ahead.
The Texans were 4-10 coming into this game and the Bengals were 3-10-1.
Yeah. So I realized that a win from the Bengals was going to jump them ahead of the Texans in draft order. Yep. So about halfway through the first quarter, I started rooting against the Bengals and of course they won. So I don't know why either team wanted to win this, but then I realized that the Texans don't have their first round pick, which the Dolphins have. And that is now like, I think the 3rd pick in the draft or the 5th pick. So the Dolphins have made out good on that trade.
It's really interesting. Yeah. Great trade. That was for Laremy Tunsil. And I mean, Tunsil's been he's a great left tackle, but I think the Dolphins feel really good about having a top 5 pick right now. With the Bengals, I mean, so they have nothing to play for, but they didn't have anything to play for this week. They looked really good against Houston. I mean, it was Houston, but still, they looked really good. Now, the only problem is they are going to be playing against the Ravens, who have everything to play for. So, can you trust anyone on this offense? T. Higgins, Gio Bernard, any of these guys?
So I'll start out by saying that both of these defenses were awful, the Bengals and the Texans. So part of this was just due to the defensive play, but both sides were playing hard. So it wasn't like they were just giving up. I think the Bengals are probably going to keep playing hard. I was surprised. I thought they were really going to go down the tanks when Burrow got hurt and they've kept fighting. So I think Higgins, if Tyler Boyd is out again, it just opens up a ton of work for him. T. Higgins looked really good today. He was making catches all over the place. So I think Higgins is pretty safe. I don't think they would sit him, kind of like Justin Jefferson. The backfield, I mean, it was still Gio Bernard leading the way. P. Ryan was working in more. Gio wouldn't have had that great of a day if it wasn't for the passing game work, which like all came in the first half, and he hasn't been getting that lately. So I don't know. I think it's going to look pretty similar to this week. I don't see a lot of players they're going to protect here.
I don't think the Bengals are sitting anyone. I just think as they're going up against the Ravens and having to face that Ravens defense, that, I mean, it's one thing to play Houston. It's another thing entirely to play Baltimore. So
Yeah, and that win against the Steelers, another good defense. Like, they just jumped up on him with turnovers. They were having weird Ryan Finley runs, and it wasn't like an offensive performance. So, yeah, I think it's pretty much Higgins and Bernard if you're in a pinch, but I wouldn't love playing him.
Right. And for the Texans, I mean, David Johnson might be winning some leagues the way he's played lately. 24 points last week, 28 this week. That's in PPR. So, I mean, fantastic work from David Johnson. Can he keep it going for one more week?
He probably can. I mean, Duke Johnson didn't play, and I believe CJ Procise was inactive. I wrote this one up for what we saw, and nobody else got a touch, as far as I can tell, other than David Johnson at running back. So he's the one they've got out there. I mean, I'll say he ran 128 yards. 48 of them came on a run up the middle where he was just untouched. So it wasn't like vintage DJ, but he did catch a pass in the red zone where they lined him up as a receiver for a touchdown. So, yeah, I think you keep rolling him out there, especially if Duke is out, because they just don't really have any other options.
Yeah, I think the Texans are going to be, you know, playing at full strength next week, and they'll be playing a Titans team that probably will still be playing for playoff contention. But the Titans aren't a world-beating defense, so they're a very beatable team. At least in terms, not maybe not beatable, but they're, you can definitely rack up fantasy points against them. So Cooks, yep. QT, David Johnson, Deshaun Watson, probably safe to roll them all out there next week in week 17.
Yep. All right. I agree with that. QT is, he was kind of a step back in the offense. It was pretty clearly Cooks, and QT is just kind of a wide receiver three. I'm not super high on him, but he was fine for what he was.
That's fair. All right, the Kansas City Chiefs barely beat the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, this one was way closer than it should have been. I think the Chiefs already had the bye locked up coming into this game. So, you know, I'm not sure that they were playing their hardest. And the Falcons, well, you know, bless their heart, they try their best. They're not very good. I mean, Mahomes threw such a bad interception. And that he should have been picked off in the end zone, too. That was another really bad pass, really trying to force it to Tyreek Hill. And the cornerback just could not come down with it. I believe that was Terrell. Yeah, AJ Terrell just could not come down with it. So Chiefs really should have lost this game, but they didn't. Travis Kelce had a great game. Tyreek Hill, only 4 receptions for 65 yards on 6 targets. Really not what you're hoping to get out of Tyreek Hill at this point in the year. And Mahomes also didn't really show up too much either. They play the Chargers next week. If you have Mahomes or Hill, are you adding people on the waiver wire just to be on the safe side?
Yeah, I mean, like we talked about up in the playoff section, we don't know how much they're going to play. So even if they get the start, there's a chance they get pulled, you know, after the first quarter or after the first half or something, or even just being the Chiefs, they could get up big and get pulled. So, yeah, I'd be looking for other options. I bet Darrell Williams is fairly trustworthy. He played double the snaps Le'Veon Bell did this week, and I mean, he seems like the type that might maybe soak up some volume. So yeah. Maybe Darrell Williams we want to play, but the others are, yeah, they're looking a little shaky here.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a good point. Bell is probably going to be the starting running back if Edwards-Helaire is not ready by the second week of the playoffs when the Chiefs will have their first game. So they may just say, you know what, it's fine if something happens to Darrell Williams. We just don't want anything to happen to Le'Veon Bell. They might let Williams go out there. I mean, someone has to get the ball in every play. The Chiefs can't just kneel it for, you know, 60 minutes. So yeah. Darrell Williams might not be a bad option. With the Falcons, probably a good chance they're going to play their players next week. I mean, they played them this week and they had nothing to play for. Calvin Ridley is still young, and I'm sure he's going to want to be out there. Julio Jones probably not coming back at this point in the season, though. Obviously, you can't do anything about this running game anyway. I have to ask, this is a team that I really feel like could absolutely blow it up this offseason. Where are you 1 to 10 on the Falcons blow-up-o-meter?
Yeah, so I was talking with Aaron in the live stream before the show. He's a Falcons fan. Man, it could go either way, honestly. I would say a 4 on the low end of blowing it up. Okay. But I think it does depend on who comes in. But I could see a lot of appeal with, hey, we got Matt Ryan, we got Ridley, we got Julio Jones. They haven't been using them right. Let's get a good coordinator in here and we can make something happen. But
yeah,
I was telling Aaron, like, they either need to go like tear it all the way down or go for it. I would not want to see them kind of, you know, do this halfway, because that would be a huge move moving on from Ryan or Julio. So either go for it or don't, I would say, but I think they stick with them personally.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think, you know, you could talk yourself into, hey, Matt Ryan is still a quality quarterback and we've got too many weapons here to just blow it up. But at the same time, I think Ridley is the only player that I would feel 100% he is going to be a Falcon next season. That, I mean, it's just tough that he's untouchable for sure. And just Kansas City, we're talking about playoff chances. Kansas City is probably the runaway favorites in the AFC.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's hard to tell if they're just kind of like bored and messing around in some of these games or what, because they haven't really looked that good, but then they'll be doing weird plays where, you know, Sammy Watkins threw a pick today, throwing it to Mahomes in the end zone. And so they're kind of messing around, having fun and struggling a little bit. I'm assuming they're going to turn it on in the playoffs though. But yeah, Mahomes can come down from 14 in like 2 minutes. So it's hard for me to pick against them.
Yeah, that's true. All right. The Chicago Bears beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 41-17. Congratulations, Jacksonville. You managed to do it. You won the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. You guys were not looking like they're going to have the number one pick all year long. You kept with the game plan. You stuck with, hey, we're only one game back of the Jets. Let's just keep losing. We screwed up week one, winning that one, but that's okay. We'll get there. And slow and steadily, they've won the race. Congratulations. Good luck with Trevor Lawrence next year. Don't get him hurt in his first season. I don't want to start any of their players next week. Do you?
No, I can't imagine starting any of them. No, I would move on. One thing I was thinking about when I was watching the Bengals Texans game is, I really, as much talk as there is a tanking, I don't think anyone's tanking. I mean, we've seen all these bad teams winning. Maybe the only team was the Jaguars. I don't think they were flat out tanking, but they pulled it off. All the other bad teams have been winning games lately.
Yeah. How dare they win games? I mean, and the Jaguars, I mean, of all teams they could be playing in week 17, it's a Colts team that has their season on the line. So it's like the toughest defense in the AFC and the team that's going to be playing the hardest, probably. As for the Bears, David Montgomery has also been winning a lot of people weeks lately. I mean, didn't break 100 yards today, but he did score a touchdown, added two receptions for 26 yards. So Montgomery's been fantastic. Bears have everything on the line next week. They will probably need to beat the Packers to make the playoffs, but they have a good chance. You know, the Cardinals losing today yesterday really gave them a great chance at making the playoffs. So fire up your David Montgomery and Allen Robinson's. Maybe Jimmy Graham, if you were really in a tight spot at tight end, just because of all the touchdown dependent tight ends, he seems to be the one who is in the end zone the most. You know, Trubisky has been average lately. I was gonna say good, and that didn't feel right. He's been decent lately, so that helps. If the Bears make the playoffs, do they have any chance at winning a game?
No, I don't think so, other than the NFC being a little mediocre. Right now, they're pegged to go up against the Saints. I don't think they could pull that one off. But, I mean, I did just talk down Drew Brees for a while. But, no, I think they would have to draw, like, Washington or somehow go up.
They're actually, there's no chance of them getting the 5 seed. Okay. They're 2 games behind the Bucks.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can't imagine them knocking off the Saints or Seattle. Maybe if the Saints were playing like in Chicago in the cold, it'd be one thing, but I can't see them going into the dome and beating the Saints.
Yeah. Tough to win there for sure. Okay. The Baltimore Ravens beat the New York Giants 27-13 today. And somehow it wasn't even as close as the score might indicate. they had leads of 20-3 and 27-6, today. So, there's 4 teams battling out for 3 spots. In the AFC wild card. Now they're all going to want to win because no one wants to lose and hope that you still make the playoffs that way. So Ravens should still, you know, be able to play everyone next week. J.K. Dobbins, you know, him coming back to the game after leaving with the chest injury feels pretty good that he'll be able to play next week. You know, Mark Andrews has been fantastic. Is there anyone that you are hesitant to start for the Ravens?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can play Gus Edwards. I mean, this time of the year, there are a lot worse options. He's splitting the work with Dobbins, and he had 85 yards today on just 15 carries. So Gus Edwards is playable. Even Marquise Brown, I mean, it's not pretty. He only had 4 catches on 4 targets today, but he scored another touchdown. I think that's, what, like 5 weeks in a row, or maybe he missed one. Yeah, 4 out of 5 weeks he's got a touchdown. So I think this is going to be a week you're going to want to play people on these teams that are fighting for the playoffs, and he's been decent enough lately, I'd go with him too. So, yeah, this would definitely be an offense I'm looking to target. Bengals have been more competitive, but we just saw, you know, David Johnson run all over him, so it's still a good matchup.
Yeah, Gus Edwards has been a surprisingly good player for a second running back on the depth chart. For over the past 5 weeks, he's had over 100 total yards this week. He had 76 total yards last week. He scored 2 touchdowns on 7 carries a few weeks ago in that incredible game against Cleveland. He had over 100 yards rushing on just 7 carries against Dallas. That's because Dallas doesn't stop anyone either. And he scored a touchdown against Pittsburgh. So it's been 5 games of pretty good production from him. So yeah, if you have if you need someone at running back, Edwards is a decent shot for sure. Now the Ravens are nowhere near as feared as they were last year when they were the number one seed, went 14-2. Obviously, their playoffs did not go so well as they played the Titans and lost to them in the second round. But is this Ravens team still a team you think could make it to the AFC Championship?
Yeah, I think they're getting hot at the right time. Some of it's been their schedule for sure, but Lamar's got some confidence back. Their defense hasn't been quite as good as I thought it would be, but I still think they've got a good game in them. So, yeah, absolutely. I think they could beat just about anyone, honestly. I wouldn't pick them against the Bills I might pick them against the Steelers. I think they're right in the mix. Titans would be a good matchup again, Baltimore and Tennessee, but they'd be in the mix. I think it'd be a close game. And yeah, I think they got as good a shot as anyone to go toe to toe with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty well rounded. They have one of the better defenses. I feel like the AFC has a lot of really good defenses, though. So don't know how they stack up against like the Colts and the Steelers, but they're up there, that's for sure. And speaking of being up there, the New York Giants are still somehow up there, as in up in the division hunt. Here's how it breaks. Actually, I'm going to wait till we get to those games later to say how it breaks down. But I'll just say this. The Giants still very much in the hunt. If they win next week, there's a good chance that they win the division somehow at 5-10. Unbelievable. They play the Cowboys next week. So Wayne Gallman, Sterling Shepard, probably good plays. I don't know if Evan Ingram, I don't know if you have anything to add there.
I mean, the matchup's great. Yeah. This offense has fallen off a cliff though. Ever since Daniel Jones got hurt, it's been ugly. I mean, they only were able to run the ball 12 times. Some of that was because they were trailing to the Ravens. But, I mean, Wayne Gallman, 6 for 27 today, 2 catches for 26. I would be worried about playing him. He probably gets there against the Cowboys, but it's not the Gallman from 3 or 4 weeks ago that was kind of cruising. So, I don't know, man. I guess Sterling Shepard, you can play him. Ingram, he's volume for a tight end. Gallman's going to be borderline, but it's not. I wouldn't be as excited as a typical team against the Cowboys. The Giants are just kind of, their offense has been bad lately.
Yeah, about as bad as the Eagles offense, and they did not do well against the Cowboys today. So actually, the Giants offense has been probably worse than the Eagles offense has been lately. I was very much thinking about today's game. Speaking of teams with bad offenses, the Los Angeles Rams lost to the Seattle Seahawks 20-9. They are a team that really needed to win this game because they are in danger of being knocked out of the playoffs if they lose next week against the Cardinals. We've gone through most of the playoff teams. I stand by what I said earlier in the show. I think Jared Goff would be the worst quarterback in the playoffs if the Rams make it there. I don't think there's any other team. And that includes, again, whoever comes out of the NFC East. I think I would rather have Dalton or Alex Smith than Jared Goff. Maybe Daniel Jones. Maybe Daniel Jones is the only other one I would not want to have rather than Goff. That's all I've really got to say about that. They play the Cardinals next week. Daryl Henderson Jr. and Malcolm Brown, whoever's the starter there, should be pretty interesting. Arizona just got gashed by Jeff Wilson Jr. So definitely something that they can give up. Seahawks stay tied with the Saints, and now they're both half a game behind the Packers, who currently lead Tennessee 19-0. So they'll probably be a full game behind the Packers by the end of the night. With the Seahawks, this is probably the team that I feel the least confident about of all of the top-end playoff teams in the NFC. They've not looked that good lately. Their offense, I mean, this was a team that was like unstoppable on offense and piss poor defensively. And now they look like good, average defensively and like also average offensively. I don't know if that gets it done.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like teams adjusted to them and they just had no move after that once teams adjusted. I think they're playing them deep and taking away the deep ball. You'd think they could. If they're taking away DK Metcalf deep, you'd think they could get more than 3 catches for 44 yards to lock it on 5 targets. So, the play calling's not super creative. They're starting to run the ball again, which 24 carries for 95 yards today. Nothing special. So I agree with you. I mean, part of me thinks that, you know, Russell Wilson's going to pull it out and win a couple games, but 225 yards passing today, five sacks. It's tough. I think you probably want them in a shootout matchup at this point. I mean, if they're against a good defense, like you mentioned, I think up top in the podcast, if a team can get after Wilson, it's going to be trouble. So right now they're projected to play the Rams again, which, I mean, I guess they just beat them. So they could make it on to the second round for sure. The NFC is kind of weak, but I don't know. It's hard to see them running through the playoffs and making it to the Super Bowl. But, you know, it's Russell Wilson. So I don't know. It seems like there's another step this offense needs to take, and they're not getting anywhere closer to doing it.
No, and this has been a few weeks now of pretty underwhelming production from guys like Metcalf and Lockett. Now, if the Packers hold on, Seahawks probably won't have much to play for next week. I don't know if I'd feel confident starting any Seahawks on week 17.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And they'll know by the time of their game if they even have a chance at all, because they play in the later games. So maybe it's a thing where you just have a backup option ready to go, you know, in the 4 o'clock game, you know, just in case, you know, Seahawks pull everyone before game time.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember, they may flex some of these game times around. I can't remember week 17. Yeah. I know they need to flex one to Sunday night. I don't know if they do more than that, but definitely keep an eye on all that stuff. But I mean, a matchup against the 49ers isn't a good matchup anyway. So, yep. Yeah, it's going to be rough. Maybe you can find a running back there. If they don't play Carson a lot, maybe Hyde or something, but yeah, it's probably a stay away for the most part if they don't have anything to play for.
Yeah, if I have Chris Carson, I definitely want to have Carlos Hyde on my roster for next week, because that's probably the easiest replacement player that you're going to get in this game. As for the Rams, you know, Kupp, Woods, they're all going to be out there next week. You know, and like we said, keep an eye on Henderson's injury status, because, you know, if Henderson's healthy, he's back out there. If not, then you definitely want to grab Malcolm Brown. All right. Panthers beat the Washington football team. Look, I just want to say, I thought it was really sweet. The Carolina Panthers wore Rivera strong gear to show support for the former head coach, Ron Rivera, who's battling cancer, had cancer treatment earlier this year. And then they really, just to add to it, to the Christmas present of how nice they were to him, they made sure to keep his team from clinching the division by beating them. It would have been really nice. I think he would have rather that than the Rivera strong gear, to be perfectly honest. Like, just roll over and let us win. That'd be way cooler. And then that way we can sit our players in week 17 and make the playoffs. But no, the Washington football team could not beat the Panthers that had nothing to play for. Dwayne Haskins really did, you know, his best to keep them from making the playoffs. Antonio Gibson's back, so that's great. He'll be playing again next week, so you definitely want Gibson out there. Logan Thomas is still doing well, 12 targets, 7 receptions, 63 yards. And then J.D. McKissic, he did nothing on the ground, only had 4 carries, but 8 receptions, 77 yards, and a touchdown. So Gibson, McKissic, Logan Thomas, are you comfortable firing all three of them up next week in a must-win game for Washington?
Yeah, I think so. We probably underestimated a little bit how much losing Terry McLaurin for this game just tanks the offense. So scoring 13 points against the Panthers is less than ideal. That's going to limit their upsides, of course. So it'd be nice to get McLaurin back just to make this offense more explosive. But yeah, I think so. Who are they playing again?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Yeah, it's a fine matchup. Cowboys just lit them up, I guess. So yeah, I think so. Sure, I mean, McKissic's thriving no matter who's out there. His touchdown was very end of the game, but still 10 targets. Yeah, I'm comfortable with all of them. You can't beat Logan Thomas's passing game volume right now. So, and no. Antonio Gibson, 10 carries. Next was McKissic with 4 and Heinicke with 3. So he's definitely the lead back on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, they wasted no time putting him back out there. There's a good chance. Yeah, Eagles look terrible today against the Cowboys. And, you know, they don't have anything to play for now. I mean, they'll probably still play all their starters next week just for pride purposes against Washington. But I think you can feel pretty good about Antonio Gibson. As for the Panthers, Curtis Samuel with 7 carries, 5 receptions, 158 total yards of offense. Like, are you, I mean, the Panthers are probably going to play everyone next week, sans Christian McCaffrey. You know, they didn't have anything to play for today, so they're still, you know, going all out there. Is Curtis Samuel someone that you're really interested in given the way they're using him?
Playing the Saints is less than ideal, but man, he looked good. I mean, 45 of those rushing yards came on one play, so he had seven other than that, but he had 100 in the air too. I mean, he looked really good today. So, man, it's, I mean, all these receivers, I mean, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore had down weeks, but they both saw 10 targets, and this is a tough Washington defense. So I think they're all appealing to play. They're all talented, and I wish they had a little bit more of a playmaker than Bridgewater to get him the ball, but maybe next year. But yeah, I think you could do worse than Samuel.
All right. Now let's talk about the Eagles-Cowboys matchup. Cowboys beat the Eagles 37-17 to stay alive in the playoff hunt. So I'm going to talk about the NFC East real quick. Because Washington lost, they need to win against the Eagles in order to win the division. If they win, they're in. That's it. If they lose, then the winner of the Cowboys-Giants game will win the division based on all the different tiebreakers that they have. The Giants have the tiebreaker over both the Cowboys and the Washington football team. And Cowboys, you know, if they win, they'll be the only team in the NFC East with seven wins. So a lot on the line next week in the NFC East, somehow, amazingly. Also, as a lifelong Cowboys fan, I can tell you that I know for a fact they will not make the playoffs. This is what they do the best, is they go into the last week needing just one thing to happen to take the division, and then they just don't do it. It's been like four or five times of this in the last decade for me, so I already know what's going to happen. Eagles have finally been eliminated from playoff contention. I don't think there's too much to talk about in terms of the game here. We talked already at the top of the show about Michael Gallup's usage lately, how he's been averaging seven targets over the past 6 weeks since the Cowboys bye. Ezekiel Elliott came back. This is exactly what we were talking about with Tony Pollard. If Zeke's back, it makes Pollard wholly uninteresting. And that's exactly what happened. Zeke had 19 carries. Pollard only had nine. Pollard only had two targets in the passing game as well. So Pollard unplayable next week. Zeke, though, you can probably feel good about putting him back out there against the Giants. So that's good. Good to see from all those people who drafted Zeke in the first round. I don't know if there's really too much here else in this game. Goddard left with an injury. Keep an eye on that. And honestly, I mean, you really look at these targets for Philadelphia. Hurts has just been spreading it around so much. Is there anyone, like, other than Miles Sanders next week that you would want – and Jalen Hurts that you would want to start for Philadelphia?
No, not for me. I think the big discussion is, where's Jalen Hurts at? What do we think about him going forward? He definitely looked like a rookie today. I mean, just 21 mm-hmm. of 39, two picks. His fumble he lost was a tough one. I'm not sure that that was really a fumble, but they called it a fumble. But I still think if you started him, it was the right move. You got 69 yards rushing out of him, 340 passing. It didn't quite work out in the touchdown department, but I think that's the big decision to make, is on Hurts, how high you have him ranked. But other than that, no, staying away from this passing game.
Yeah, they do play the tough Washington defense next week. And obviously, as we know, Washington has a lot to play for. I just feel like the way Hurts has been playing, I mean, Hurts has basically been Kyler Murray. And so I'd feel pretty good about starting him, even if the passing, like, he doesn't have a super big passing game, whether by yards or by touchdowns. His rushing floor has just been so good. I mean, I feel like it was like literally 5 minutes into the game, I'm checking my ESPN fantasy football app. They show he has four passing yards, but he's got like four fantasy points because he's already rushed for 23 yards. Like, that's just the kind of stuff Jalen Hurts can do. So you're definitely, I think personally, you're almost certainly starting him next week, unless you're one of the teams that picks him up behind someone like, I don't know. I was going to say Russell Wilson. Yeah. Josh Allen. I mean, but that's the other thing too, is we don't know if these quarterbacks are going to be playing. So I'm not sure how many quarterbacks Hurts is for sure behind going into next week.
And even Washington's a tough defense, but like, I think he's going to struggle the most when he's way behind, like in this game. And I think Washington will be a close game where he can run the ball a lot and should have a nice day. Yeah. So,
yeah, it's always tough. I think Hurts is not a good enough passer yet that they can just play, you know, an air game and have him be super successful. They need these option plays, you know, these read plays, RPOs that really where Hurts does better, because they have to worry about his legs. All right, finally, the Chargers beat the Broncos. Cool. Good for you guys. I think it's so funny. The Chargers really tried to charger this game because they were winning by 16-3 early in the fourth quarter and managed to let the Broncos come back and tie the game. But the Chargers, I mean, this is like some really cool character arc stuff from them. They won the game on a field goal. It was really amazing to see them do that. It was very un-Chargers-like of them. So,
yeah. Well, they even took a sack to make the field goal longer, and then What was it? The Broncos had a shot. I think there was a drop. Yeah, Jerry Jeudy dropped a deep pass. They could have almost been in range for a touchdown. So they still tried to give it away after they went ahead by three.
Neither team has had anything to play for a while now. But obviously week 17 is kind of like the last day of school. And when kids kind of sometimes don't even show up. So, like Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen. I mean, Keenan Allen missed today's game, you know, due to injury. Hunter Henry also didn't play. I did not catch if that was due to injury. I assume it was. Yeah. So, you know, is Eckler and maybe Herbert the only people we can fire up next week? Do you think they'll hold Keenan Allen out for another week? Is it possible they bench Eckler?
Yeah, I would be surprised to see much Keenan Allen. If I was running the team, I would be awfully cautious with Eckler because they just signed him to a big deal and he's had injuries this year and he's a smaller back. I would take it easy on him. I really don't know if that's what the Chargers are going to do, but he seems like he'd be a prime candidate to get a little bit of a rest. So keep an eye on that for sure. Herbert, I mean, you got to figure he's out there unless it just turns into a blowout one way or the other. But I think probably Herbert and not much else I'm feeling great about unless Allen or Hunter Henry just gets a clean bill of health this week.
Right. Well, and that would be huge, obviously, if Keenan Allen was like for sure ready to go. With Eckler, I completely agree with you, especially since the Chargers currently have on their roster two running backs that are clearly not part of the future in Kalen Ballage and Joshua Kelly. Yeah. And then with Denver, I think we're pretty clear now. Joshua Kelly is just he's okay. He's a running back and he'll be on many, many teams throughout his career, almost certainly.
Well, I think Justin Jefferson is a free agent. I could be wrong, but
Justin Jackson.
Sorry, not Justin Jefferson.
I feel like of all the running backs, they'll probably bring Jackson. Jackson's been pretty good with them. I mean, unless Jackson gets a role else, I mean, maybe Justin Jackson goes to San Francisco to be the running back there alongside Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert. That would be a very San Francisco thing to do.
I don't know if I'm wrong on that. I feel like he's got some kind of option, but I'm not seeing him on this list now. So maybe I'm wrong here, but I remember looking them over preseason. They got a lot of people up at the end of the year.
Hopefully one of them is Anthony Lynn. With the Denver Broncos, they play the Raiders next week. The only Bronco we've really been starting lately has been Melvin Gordon. Maybe Noah Fant this week. He had another big week after a good performance last week, 6 receptions, 65 yards. So is it just Gordon and Fant again against the Raiders next week? Or is it, you know, if they sit Gordon, is Philip Lindsay going to play? I don't know.
Yeah, Lindsay was hurt. I mean, if they say they're going to play Gordon, I guess we trust it. Put him out there. He's been pretty good. I was just noticing that Jerry Jeudy had 15 targets and turned that into 61 receiving yards. So at least he got the work. That's encouraging. But now it's hard to trust much here other than Fant and Melvin Gordon for me. So that's about where I'm ending up with the Broncos. I love Judy's future, but it's not happening this year.
All right. Does it for this week. Obviously, there's still a couple more games to come and one game happening right now. So obviously, if you want to know about something that happened in the Packers-Titans game, that crazy thing that Eric and I didn't see, unfortunately, check out the What We Saw article on QBList.com, because not only will they go over all the games that we've talked about and in a lot more in-depth detail than we just went over, but they also will include that Packers-Titans game that we have been unable to see. And then Tuesday morning, we'll have our analysis of the Bills and Patriots game as well. So if you're looking for that, make sure to check it out on our website at QBList.com. And I'll still have my waiver wire column coming out this week. We're going to help you win week 17. I know I've been busting on you guys all year long. I will continue to do it in our podcast on Wednesday and in my waiver wire column. But don't worry, we won't leave you guys hanging out to dry. Eric, thank you so much. And, you know, happy holidays, friend.
Yeah, man, happy holidays. I just saw a news update that Jared Goff might not be able to play next week with a thumb injury. So another present. I think it was a thumb injury.
It was a thumb injury. I did see it. It was pretty nasty. He dislocated it, hitting a lineman's helmet. And, you know, Rams fans and Rams coaches may not be feeling great, but I have a good feeling that your offense is going to be better next week. All right, everyone. Have a good night.